All right. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody here. Boy, the sound is on this morning, isn't it? Well, good. As Dave said, today's Palm, well, there's a lot going on. You know, it seems like it. There's Palm Sunday. We've got our communion service and, we've got our normal church service at least. So that's kind of exciting, right? And this is, if you don't know about Palm Sunday, this is when Jesus first entered into Jerusalem on the donkey. I like to call it Freedom Week. And when he was on his way to die on the cross for our sins. And this was the first day where he made that journey. And pretty rough week, to say the least. Yeah, but good to see you, Brenda. I know she's been going through some stuff, so but yeah, we're here and glad to be here, and we'll keep trucking. Let me see if I deacons meeting today after the service. And yeah, that's all I have. And remember, we do have our young adults Bible study on Friday nights. If you're interested, contact Lena on that. I see you over there. Give a shout out. But I think that's all I have. We'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All right. I guess I should probably pull up my PowerPoint here. Is that too loud or do I need to bump it down a little bit? It's good? Okay. Sometimes I start yelling, you know, I might get kind of loud in here. Okay. All right. I'm not yelling now. Well, here you go. Here we are. Here's what we have lined up for today. I don't know how much of 27 we'll get because I've dedicated half or so of the second service to communion because I think it should be, well, it always is about Jesus Christ, right? But every day is about Jesus, but our communion service is specifically designed to remember Him, remember what He did, remember who He is, and just to remember the grace that we've been given as a result of everything. So, by the way, great choices on the songs today. Those were very fitting, and you can worship when you sing. That's the idea, right? The words have meaning. And it's what you think as you sing is the whole deal behind that. So just remember that. It's not just singing just to sing. It's what you're thinking about while you're singing. So why don't we go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer. We'd like to take advantage of 1 John 1:9, which tells us if we confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us. And that is directed to the believer. So we need forgiveness every day. We're sinners. We need forgiveness. And so fortunately, you don't confess those to me. You confess those directly to God. I don't want to hear those things. I've got myself to deal with here. So let's go ahead and take a moment and then I'll kick us off with a prayer and we'll get started. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the time that we have together to come here to have a place, have a building to study, to meet with other like-minded believers, and just to grow, to fellowship with each other. And we are thankful today to be able to serve you in a way that is meaningful, and also to remember you as you have commanded us to do in the Word. And we just continually are in thanksgiving because of what you have done and what you are doing in the lives of every person on this earth. So we thank you for that. And we just ask today that you can continue to guide us in the Word, and also to pray that we can concentrate and accept these things willingly and openly to be able to grow up as believers. And we thank you. And all this we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, welcome back. Always feels like a while since we've met, but it hadn't been that long, right? A few days. We're in the book of James, as you probably are aware. And you might notice the same group of verses up here. And usually when that happens, there's something that we need to talk about. So there is a lot of detail in these verses. Actually, we're pretty much through the first half of this, but it's verse 25 where we're kind of lingering around there. But it's a good thing, right? Each verse is different. Some of them God throws a lot of things at me, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So we have to just talk about it. So, but why don't we just go ahead and I'll just start reading from verse 21. Just get your minds back in the game here. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now remember, this is not a gospel message verse, right? This is two believers, four believers, and James is trying to get them to wake up to the fact of what's implanted inside them already, which is where they accepted Christ, the gospel message, the truth that influenced them for eternity at one moment in their life. And they're not living for that eternity. They've kind of just, they've believed, right? But they are eternally secured and saved. We see that at the beginning of the book. But they're just not living like Christians. So one way to light that spark is to say, hey guys, this is what you have. And, and he gives them the broad scope of salvation and how wide its range is, which is from the moment they believed on into eternity, which is a long time. It's eternity, right? And he's asking them one specific thing, and it's a command to receive that. And I love the way that the Bible translates that word as welcome. Also, in other translations, you might see welcome. Because that's what we do. When you become open to receive the Word of God, to start growing spiritually, you welcome that God's Word. You welcome being under His authority. You welcome many things, believe it or not, that you weren't doing before, but now you have decided to do. Maybe one of those things is showing up to church, right? Maybe you want to make a change. So you're becoming more receptive to receive and to welcome the Word of God. And we've all gone through that phase. We are all still going through that phase. I mean, it's really a daily thing to receive the Word of God. How do you feel? What's going on in your life? There's a lot of variables, right? But at the end of the day, we all make that decision to receive and welcome and hopefully grow a hunger towards the Word so we are eager. That's how the Scripture describes it. Be diligent, remember? So you go from being dull of hearing like these believers are to being diligent to grow in the Word and to experience what God wants you to experience. And did I read that verse yet? Let's see. Let's go. Let's just read through this. I think I had that down. This is verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That's exactly what they're doing. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. So this is kind of generally where we are. We're talking about the man in the mirror. The man in the mirror, right? And what James is doing here is he's using a comparison. He's using a comparison called a simile, which you do probably all the time. And all it does is it compares two different things, and it shows the similarities between them. And that's why you always will usually hear the words like or as in the comparison. This is like that, right? And that's exactly what you see here. What James uses, he says, what's being compared is the two things, a hearer that is also not a doer. That's one of the things. And then you see the man that looks at his natural face in the mirror and completely forgets everything he just saw and thought about and walks when he walks away. That's the comparison between, and what we're going to be seeing is the similarities between those. Because he says that's what it's like. That's what a man who is a doer, not a hearer, is like. So a couple things about this man who looks at his natural face in a mirror and walks away. See this word looks in the right in the middle of the verse. Looks. Remember, that wasn't just a glance. Do you remember that word? It wasn't just a quick look in the mirror. Oh, I need to check it out, like you ladies do pretty quickly. Y'all have all kind of looks. Some of them are really long. Some of them are doop, boop, gone. Right? That wasn't one of these. This was he took some time. This was a concentrated look in the mirror. He thought about it while he was looking in the mirror. That's what the word is showing us. A couple things about the word. It means intently look, or to take note of, to observe carefully. Remember that. So it's not just look. I think they kind of messed up on that. Other translations say a few different things. Here's the KJV. Beholding his natural face. Not bad. I like that. Beholding, you know, that has a lot of force in it. The LEB says staring at his own face. And that's not bad either, because it shows that he's actually, although he could be daydreaming, but he's intently looking at least for an extended period of time, right? The Amplified Version, which is supposed to amplify everything, says like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face. That's pretty good. Pretty good. You know, not every translation gets everything right, but some of them get verses right. So that's why sometimes you have to look at a few different verses to see what's happening. And most importantly, look at the original. And the NET Bible says like someone who gazes at his own face. I like that too. You know, it kind of shows that he's paying attention. He's looking in the mirror. He's thinking. He's even taking mental notes, right? And we do that too. Okay, that's wrong. I need to do that. That doesn't look right. You know, you do that, right? And I think I mentioned it last time that sometimes when we look in the mirror, we think about who we are. Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we feel like we're shame. We feel shame for whatever reason, whatever we did. Sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we're excited, but you're looking into your own eyes and you're thinking about yourself a lot of times. Not all the time, but sometimes. So what I'm getting at is there's a lot of thoughts, there's a lot of things that come up from a mirror because it's a reflection of you back to yourself. And based on that reflection, we're making certain mental notes as what we see. Okay, that doesn't look right. Right? So you wake up, your hair's like this in the morning. Okay, time to get away from the mirror. But you get the idea. It gives you a lot of reasons on, or a lot of things either to do or to take action on, or maybe to change, or to even to think about differently. Sometimes the mirror, when you look in the mirror, sometimes you may feel bad and you may think, okay, well, we need to get in gear here, right? You need to get back in fellowship. We need to go get in the Word. And sometimes the mirror gets you back into reality. It can, at least. So lots of things come to mind, but you get the idea. Genuinely looking in the mirror and making observations and mental notes. So that we can act on that, right? And that's important because last time I told you the mirror in this passage is symbolic for the Word of God. That's the idea. That's why that's so important. That's why the analogy is so important. The mirror is likened to the Word of God, right? So, and the reason why it's similar to that, the reason why it's similar to a mirror is because we see ourselves, our natural selves, in the Word of God. We can see who we really are when we bounce that off the reflection from the Word of God. It's not a mirror, but in a way it does give us a reflection back of who we are. I'm talking about the real us. Not who we want everybody to see, not who, you know, the image that I create. It's talking about the real me. The good, bad, and the ugly. Right? And that's what we want. That's what a mirror does on the surface, right? But that's what the Word of God does to the soul. It reflects back who you are. And it's so accurate because it's the truth of God's Word. It brings these things out, right? It shows us a lot of things. It shows us where we fall short. It shows us where the course corrections that we need to make in life. I mean, that's the point of preaching. That's the point of coming to church. That's the point of growing. We make course corrections as we grow. Hopefully you're living different from the first point you became a believer, right? I mean, that's the idea. We're supposed to be moving in the right direction, growing in, being sanctified in Christ, living a Christ-like life. And so the Word of God, I should say, has a potential to do that. It does. And if we hear these things that we're talking about, we think about ourselves, we think about what we're doing maybe sometimes right, and more than not, it seems like what we're doing wrong, right? I mean, that's what the Word of God is good at bringing out. Okay, well, I need to work on that. You know, it seems like every day we hear something that, you know, comes out of the Word. Okay, that's a part I need to apply a little bit more. That's, one of the areas that I need to work on. And we're all different, so I think you understand what I'm talking about. But the reason for that is because we are sinful. And when you look at the Word of God, you're going to see that sin even more. You're going to see the magnification of the reflection, like, whoa, okay, I hear you, loud and clear. You know, it's like you see a command, and like just the word receive we saw earlier. We can immediately see whether we welcome the Word of God or where we fall short in that. Because I know some people, it's a daily thing for them. Some people have a little bit harder time getting up to the point of being a daily, giving God a little bit of your time each day. And that's okay. That's part of the process of growing. But you can see how the word receive is to be welcoming. We're not always welcoming, even though we should be, to the Word of God. The idea is there. We know we should. We want to. But we're just, it takes work. It takes practice. It takes, loving God. I mean, getting to the point of loving God back. You know, it's a reciprocation. He loved you first, and what do? You finally get on board. You come to love Him eventually, and then, but you get the idea, right? So, we see where we fall short, and we also see where we need to take action, just like the mirror. You notice certain things. You say, okay, yeah, I need to comb my hair. Ladies need to put some makeup on. A lot of things you need to do. I need to do this today. I need to do that today. All these things are running through your mind that you need to do. Take action on. I need to change my attitude, right? I need a cup of coffee. See? There's a lot there. So when we look in the Word of God, we do the same thing, but it's comparing ourselves to a perfect righteousness. That's why it's so obvious. That's the reason it's so obvious. Just like the mirror, you know exactly what you're dealing with when you see the mirror. Well, when you hear the Word of God, you hear who you are, right? The natural you. And of course, I think we're going to always see many things wrong, and that's normal. We're going to see many areas where we need to correct, where we need to get better at, where we need to grow. Those kind of things come up when you see bounce your image off of the Word of God. Most importantly, how you live and what to change about the way you live. That's what this is referring to. And this is the problem. That's the problem with James. You have a bunch of believers who are walking up to their reflection of themselves in the mirror of the Word of God. They're hearing these things. They're maybe even taking mental notes of these things. But when they walk away, they completely forget everything they just heard. And you see the problem with that. There's no changes. There's no changes. They just walk away. So this is a huge problem because the entire spiritual life is designed for us to make corrections to live more in accordance with the Word. Not with the way we want to live, but see, when we hear these things, we know what we are to change, but if we stop there, what have we done? There's no change. That's what the believers are doing in this book. They're not changing. They're not living differently. And that's kind of what James is trying to show them by this comparison between the man that, okay, I got that, okay, and he walks off, completely forgets everything he just... Well, he'd never comb his hair. I mean, he'd never do a lot of things that he probably should do that he saw was wrong. You know, maybe he has a big booger in his nose. I mean, you gotta fix those things. You know, if you see something wrong and you walk away and you don't fix anything, guess what? Somebody's going to tell you about that. Well, actually, hopefully they will. Right? They might not, and then you're in trouble. But you get the idea. There's things that we need to correct, that we should correct, but if you don't correct them, you're setting yourself up for failure that day. Now that everybody has that nice picture in their mind. See, that's my job, is to give you those pictures in your mind. I don't know about that one, but make sure I'm okay up here. So they're walking up and walking into, let's say, a service, and they're hearing the Word of God. They walk out. The idea is they've immediately forgotten what kind of person they are. So they heard the true person. They were able to make mental notes about it. But when they walk out, they immediately forgot it. That's what's going on here. So you can imagine this is a group of believers where there is no correction, no change, right? And by the way, this is one of those things that these are Christians who appear, remember, they're showing up, or we know they're hearing in some way. They're hearing the Word, so there must have been, obviously, some Bible classes, lessons, recitation happening, right? There was different things going on where they can at least hear. So they appeared to be maybe obedient Christians. Maybe they appeared. They were showing up. You know, a lot of Christians just show up and they think that's good enough. They check off that show up box and they say, I'm good. Everybody saw me at church, right? That's good enough. But there are a lot of Christians like that. I think American churches have trained people to check off that show up to church box. If I just show up, if you see me in church, that's good enough, right? But you know what that does is they look at themselves in the mirror and then they walk out and they completely forgot everything they just heard. So now you have a bunch of Christians who are going to church, they're hearing, but they're not changing. They're not changing. Uh-oh. Wow, we got a lot. I think we have a lot of churches like that. We have a lot of churches like that because the reason why most people are or at least the excuse they use of why they don't believe in God or why they're not positive to God, is because Christians don't live like Christians. We're not setting the example according to the Word of God. And so what is in their mind? Christianity is not like what the Bible says it is. They think Christianity is something completely different. And you're like, well, wait a minute, that's not Christianity. Well, that's what they see. They see the believers who are going to church, forgetting completely, or I would say denying and ignoring what they just heard, and leaving the church. So, remember, part of this is being a witness. Setting the example. Don't we want to set the example? We do. We do. We want to be more like Christ. We want to be more humble. We want to be able to talk to anybody. Because we're going to be in situations where we want to be the example, and someone will not be like you. They won't look like you. They'll be in a different situation, but they need Jesus. So you have to be able to set the example and to be open and to be compassionate and to be humble like Jesus was. Right? That's the idea. But if we're not like that, if we kind of look at somebody and say, oh, I don't know about that. Right? They look different from me. So I'm just going to keep going because, you know, we get the kind of, you know, nose up in the air attitude when Jesus would have went down and sat with them and talked to them. He would have put himself right in the middle of that place with them, with us. We're sinners, right? Depending on where we fall in that spectrum. But you get the point. Jesus was out to save souls when he was on the earth. So we're all there at some point. The reality is that. And we're capable of going down that rabbit hole. So the reason why I brought all this up is because the people that do this, the people that are not being changed by the Word of God, are disobedient in their souls. They may appear to be obedient on the outside to you and me, but in the soul there's something else going on. And I know we can't judge that, we can't see that, but God can, right? There's a disobedience, there's a revolt, I guess you could say, or just a kind of a, you know, a bucking God's authority. Yeah, I heard it, but I'm not willing to change it. You know what I mean? I'm not willing to make those course corrections. That takes a lot of work. You mean I have a gift and I'm supposed to use it? All right, I'll think about that for a while. I got a job to do. I got a family to raise. I got money to make. I have a life to live. See what I mean? It's easy to justify in our brain on how we think about the Word. Are we receptive to it? Or are we just hearing it and it's falling on dead ears? Right? Or closed ears, I should say. So this is important. Because this is a major problem in churches today and in Christianity in general. This is, I thought about this. This is basically telling God no. You know that? You ever think about that? It's telling God no. I don't want to change. I want to continue to live the way I want to live. I heard what you had to say. I heard that verse that said, prove yourselves doers of the Word, which was a command, right? Prove yourselves. In other words, show it. Think it. Let me see it. Live it. Set the example. I heard that. But, you know, I don't know. That seems like a lot of energy. It seems like I have to do a lot of, you know, we do think like that. Because it's not always, I'm going to say it's not always easy serving the Lord. It's not always easy making the decision, because guess what? At the end of the day, serving the Lord is sacrifice. It's sacrifice to the sin nature that wants to do everything and anything besides studying, learning, and applying the Word of God. So there you go. That's a good example of what growing does. It allows you to overcome the sin nature more and more in your life. Does it get easier? I think it does get easier, but at the same time, the tests become different, maybe. Right? God's not going to keep testing you with the same test that you passed you know, way back then, it's easy for you now. So he's going to test you in a different way. He will stretch you. He's very good at stretching you, stretching us. He knows what you're capable of, and if you're capable of this, he'll go to about right here. Just below that mark. So you feel like you're going to throw in the towel, and right when you grab that towel, he comes in and saves the day. Right? And if you do throw that towel in, you didn't have to throw that towel in. Because he's not going to test you beyond your capability. He knows what you're capable of. He knows. Sometimes we convince ourselves, God, I can't handle this. This is too much for me. I mean, I've had conversations with God. I'm trying to convince him how much I'm capable of. No, he already knows that. He already knows that. So this is a problem in Christianity. And I don't have to really tell you this, but the Bible does expose who we are. I mean, let's be real with each other. I mean, we are sinners. The Bible exposes who we are. And once we see that, once we hear that, that can be uncomfortable. I mean, I get uncomfortable when we hear things from the Word. Sometimes we hear, because we're thinking about ourselves and we're seeing, say, okay, that's where I need work. That can be embarrassing. It can make you angry. It can make you frustrated. I mean, there's a lot of thoughts that come through our mind when we hear the Word and we bounce it off of ourselves. But that's why I can appreciate believers like you so much, because you have trained yourself to hear it, to compare it against yourself, and to keep going. You know, that takes humility. It takes humility. Because sometimes people will hear and they'll react off the Word of God and they'll never show up again, right? Some people hear, they've learned how to hear and compare it against themselves and to just forget everything and walk out. That's one technique. Or the other one is to hear, compare, and then make a change. Do you make a change in your life off of the Word of God or not? That's up to each one of us. That's different for everybody. You know, I wish I could change more at the rate we studied and taught and went through these books. I wish we had everything right, every change right, every command we could do, everything would just flow in that direction, but it's not the case. We can only, you know, juggle so many changes and maintain those changes as sinners. The culprit is always sin, right? So, but guess what? The knowledge that we're getting is critical. We're looking in the mirror and we're seeing who we really are. That's, you can't get that anywhere else. You can only get that from the Word of God. So thankfully we have that. I mean, you're not going to get that from anywhere else. You're not going to get it from outside God's Word. God's going to let you know who you really are. And that is very, very, very unique, because guess what? You have everything you need to make the correction. You know, it's like he's given you everything you need to make the correction. And then what happens when we don't apply? Or we don't self-correct. We don't course-correct. It does us no good. We don't receive the benefit from no correction. You know what I mean? We don't receive the benefit from no correction. I think we've all done this, but have you ever gotten a prescription from the doctor and he said, take this and it will cure you, or it will help. It will help you. We look at that and say, nah, I'm not taking that. You know, sometimes I think that's okay, but sometimes it's not okay. Right? There's times I've done that and I've stayed with something wrong with me and I probably should have taken it. But that's the idea. When God gives us a remedy, some health benefit to our spiritual life and our life in general, and we don't take it, we don't receive it, there's no cure. There's no benefit that we're receiving. You know what I mean? If you're not taking the medicine of God's spiritual food, well, let's say you're putting it in your mouth and you're tasting it and you're spitting it out. That's the idea of looking in the mirror and just not, you know, doing anything about it. So now you can, at least I hope, better understand James, why James is commanding them in verse 122 to prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who are deceiving themselves. They're fine. Oh, they got this. The spiritual life, they got it. You can't tell them what to do. They got this. I go to church every Sunday. Don't you talk to me like that. I'm a growing Christian and my family, we're all very church oriented. We got this, right? See, they hear, but they don't receive and they don't change. So they've deluded themselves into thinking they are the spiritual giants in the church. They are the most spiritual in their mind when they are the least spiritual when it comes to God and what He thinks and what He sees, right? All I'm trying to say is don't try to fake spirituality. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Don't fake it. You can think and do. That is a real thing, believe it or not. So we want to make adjustments when we hear the word. That's all I'm getting at. We want to make adjustments. We want to hear the word. We want to make the necessary adjustments. And here's verse 25. Here's the flip side of all this. Finally, we got to some encouraging stuff here. Everybody's looking like, look like y'all got beat up. I'm way over here behind the pulpit. I didn't touch you. Verse 120, James 1:25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, I'm going to just say the law of liberty, or excuse me, the law of, I have freedom in my own notes. And there's a reason I have that, because it's translated freedom as well in the scripture. So I'm going to read it like that. I thought I changed that. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of freedom, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So these believers were Jews. They were Christian Jews, right? But they were Jews. So, you know, they dealt with a lot of religion, Judaism specifically. So they had a lot of things probably going through their mind when they heard law, if you can imagine. Remember the law of Moses? I mean, that was their whole life at one point. That was their spiritual life before Jesus died on the cross. The Mosaic law was active. That's what was the rule for life, for living the, I guess you could say, the spiritual life, getting to know God. That's how they saw their error, saw their sinfulness, was through the law. Right? They didn't have the completed Word of God. They had part of it. They had the Old Testament, right? But they had the law as a rule for life for them. So can you imagine as a Jew when you see the word law, how much stuff would have come to their mind? A lot. A lot of things would have come to mind. Now, I'll tell you before we mention this is that this isn't the same law that they would have thought about. They're thinking about the law of Moses more than likely. And this is talking about the law of freedom or the law of liberty. So what would have came to their mind would have been the law of Moses, maybe initially, right? Because they were under that. And it was essentially their entire spiritual life. They probably would have also thought about the fact that no human being ever could fulfill the law, but Jesus Christ did. He fulfilled the law perfectly. Perfectly. He followed it. He didn't break any of the 613 laws once. And that's why he fulfilled the law and initiated a new covenant, a new covenant. It was not the law of Moses anymore. It was all about the spiritual component through the Holy Spirit now, right? That's what we just read, a new covenant in my blood at the beginning of this service, because Jesus fulfilled the old covenant and now we're in a new way to live. We're no longer under the law, but under grace, as the scripture describes it. So they thought about that. They thought about Jesus fulfilling the law. They also thought about the fact that they were no longer under the law, but under grace now. So I wanted to mention that because law is a very important word in the Jewish context, right? Although it's not the same word here, though, because this is a different law here. And I want to mention that now, and then we'll take our break. This law here is referring to the revelation of God's will for Christians. This is referring to the Word of God, but if we want to say it in a way that is meaningful for us, this is talking about what God has revealed, His will for us. His will for us. And yes, it is perfect. It is perfect. Because God is perfect. And if we are doing His will, we're not perfect, but the things and the times that we're doing His will is perfect. Even though we have a sin nature, we can be in fellowship or out of fellowship with God. We can be carnal Christians. We can be walking in the light. Okay? I don't want to have to go back all through that, right? You understand that the Corinthians were believers, but they were carnal believers. They were fleshly, just like these believers in the book of James. So this is the God's law that James is talking about. And I want to read you this definition of law and then we'll break. Because the word is a word in the Greek and it means this. Its primary meaning relates to that which is conceived as standard or generally recognized rules of civilized conduct. Law. Oh. Well, we can relate to that. We have a law of the land. And now we're talking about a divine law, a spiritual law. That's what this is talking about right here. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about. And I love the fact that this word freedom is in here because we just started Freedom Week. Jesus is just entering to pay for our freedom, right? That's why this verse is so unique. When we just started this week and we have our communion service that's all dedicated to what He did and what He provided, which is pretty amazing. I always wonder how God does it, but He just does it. I just go along with the flow here. I couldn't have planned this to save my life, but He did it. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the Word. Thank You for just being able to see these things, to not only hear them, but to receive them welcomingly, with welcome, open arms, and to be able to examine ourselves, to be able to make those corrections, and ultimately to be able to please You and to glorify You with these bodies. We thank You for the opportunity, and most importantly, we thank You for Jesus Christ, who provided our salvation, who died on the cross for our sins, and has opened the path between us and God. And the only issue between that path is, what do You think about Jesus? The scripture tells us that the only thing keeping us from salvation, from eternal life, and a relationship with God is ourself. It's open to everyone. And it says all we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. That's it. It's not of our works. It's not of anything we can do. It's not from going to church. It's not from a membership. It's not from faking it. It's from faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. So we thank You for the opportunity to be able to start and to finish in this life according to You and what You want us to do. We thank You. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.